Coming to you from New Milford High School in New Milford, New Jersey, it's the Nightcast. Welcome back to another episode of the New Milford High School podcast. Today I'm speaking with four school counselors who will help students and their parents think about what happens after graduation from New Milford High School. We hope that this podcast will help give answers to so many questions and set students on a path of thinking about what their futures might hold. Whether students are moving on to college or a non-traditional school, or perhaps going directly into a career or entering a trade school, there's lots to think about at this point in time. We'll focus specifically on juniors and talk about the conferences that will be coming up soon. All juniors, beginning on February 10th, will be meeting with their counselor along with a parent or guardian to talk about specific questions and for counselors to have an opportunity to give individual advice to each student. I will first speak with Mrs. Mary Bilali, who will give us an overview of how this process begins for many students.
Well, for freshmen and sophomore students, we really want them to start thinking about taking courses that are challenging to them and taking courses that are interesting so they could explore different options for possible careers. We also want freshmen and sophomore students and even junior students to get involved in as many school activities that they're interested in, not just to do school activities to put it on their resume, but to do school activities that they're really passionate about, whether it's sports or extracurricular clubs or community service. They really need to start thinking about exploring different options that may lead to a possible major or career path.
That's such a good point. I think students do get a bit bogged down, so to speak, in how do I build my resume? What can I be involved in to put it on the college application if that's the route they're taking? But you make such a good point. There's much more to the involvement, and that is, number one, being an active member of your school, but also being exposed to so much and learning what is a good fit for you, things you like, things you don't like. So that's great advice. And now on to the juniors. What should they be doing and thinking about now?
Before the process even begins, I think it's really important for students and parents to have a really honest conversation about what's available to them as far as resources for after high school. Money for college, who will be paying for college, and how? Will the student need to take out student loans? Does the student need to dorm, or is living at home an option? Lots of these questions need to be sorted out even before the college search process can start. So another thing that parents and families need to talk about and with students is the location of the school that they're going to attend. If the student's going to dorm, how far away will he or she be able to go? How many hours? How many miles? In case the student wants to come home or in case the parent needs to get the student home, it's really important to think about. If the student is commuting to school, how far will the student have to travel? Living here in the New York City area, with traffic being as it is, you have to think about not just how many miles the student will have to travel to school, but how long it will take them to get there, and how much time away from studying and preparing being in the car will take. Another thing that families need to talk about is life after college. Does picking a college need to be close to a metropolitan city, or is a suburban or rural setting okay for the student? All of these questions need to be asked and thought about. There are over 3,600 colleges, universities in the United States. Honest answers to some of these questions will help the families narrow down the search.
That's so interesting. And as you're talking, I can't help but think, you know, I'm a senior parent myself. And one of the schools my daughter applied to and is on the top of her list is one that is a bit of a distance from home. But as her mom, one of the biggest selling points for me is that there's an Amtrak station right on campus. So it's such an important thing to think about in addition to the other things that you're saying. So next, we're going to answer one of those big questions, the testing. We think about and hear about SAT, ACT, which one do I take? When do I take it? How do I take it? Where do I take it? All of these questions. So, and another part of that is again, having just gone through this application process as a parent myself, some of the schools my daughter applied to are now test optional. So what does that mean? And is it really test optional? So hopefully we'll be able to answer some of these questions for you today when we hear from Mrs. Karina Poor.
Thank you, Mrs. Valuzzi. 11th grade students should be starting to plan for any SAT and ACT testing that they need to take. The good news is that all colleges that require testing accept both the ACT or the SAT, and there's no preference given to either, so it's a personal choice for the student. Students can take both, but they don't have to. Since the SAT redesign in 2016, the two tests are much more similar. Students should research and decide which test is better for them. The key differences are typically in the timing and the sections. The SAT has an evidence-based reading and writing section, a math section, and an optional 50-minute essay. The ACT tests in English and reading, math, and science, with an optional 40-minute essay. It's important to note that the science section is not meant to test factual knowledge in science, but your ability to interpret scientific information, and in this case, reading skills are more important than factual skills in science. We offer the SAT at New Milford High School in March, May, and October. Students should register online and register early. Area high schools offer the SAT in June, August, November, and December. The ACT is offered at area high schools 7 times a year. Students should also register online for the ACT. A student should decide when they want to start testing and leave enough time to retest if wanted. Most students typically test 2 times over the span of about 6 months, but the max number of tests that want to be seen by colleges is 3. If a school is test optional, most colleges still require testing for merit scholarships. For test optional schools, grades and the rigor of the student's courses are considered more heavily. When considering preparation for SATs and ACTs, many classes are available in our county at learning and tutoring centers. The SAT prep course at New Milford High School is sponsored by Lentz & Lentz, and they offer a discounted rate to NMHS students. Classes begin in March and prepare students for the May SAT. Individual tutoring and self-preparation are also options. College Board offers many free resources for SAT prep, including a partnership with Khan Academy.
Thank you for all of that information. I know it's answering a lot of questions for our listeners. I have a question about the essay for the SAT. I've heard students at the high school level talk a lot about that. Should I take the essay? Who needs it? What is your advice about taking the essay portion of the SAT?
If students already have a clear list of where they're applying to, then they can check on the school's website and see if it requires the SAT essay or not. If the schools do not require it, then there's no need to take it. If students are unsure where they want to apply to, then take it at least once. A lot of times, even if the score for the essay is not used in the admissions process, it's often used to help with placement in freshman year classes.
Mrs. Poor, can you speak a little bit about what a student might do if they're really feeling uncertain about what to do after graduation? Maybe they're strongly considering college, but they don't know which major they would pursue. Maybe they're not even sure about college. They have a lot of questions. Is there anything out there that can help students figure out what path they might follow?
We actually have a great opportunity coming up for all juniors. It's called the ASVAB. ASVAB stands for Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, and we'll be administering the ASVAB in March. So on Wednesday, March 25th, between 8 and approximately 11 a.m., 11th graders will have the opportunity to take this aptitude test, and it will help them figure out some possible occupations for the future. The ASVAB is the most widely used multiple aptitude test battery in the world. It's meant to measure and combine students' abilities and interests and suggest real-world occupations and career that fit with these abilities and interests. The ASVAB is administered by the military and was originally designed to predict success in military occupations. It can still be used to satisfy the military entrance exam, but is more widely used by civilians for career exploration purposes. Signups will be open to all 11th graders for career exploration options. Subtests include the traditional tested areas of math, reading, and science, but also electronics, auto and shop, and mechanical comprehension. After testing, students will receive access and training on a website that analyzes their data and makes personalized recommendations on occupations and information about these occupations. They will then have free access for 2 years after testing.
Wow, not only is that a great opportunity, but it sounds so thorough. It's funny, I'm thinking as you're talking, I'm in my mid-40s and I still hear adults say, I wish I knew what I wanted to be when I grow up. So I think at any age, or certainly at as early of an age as possible, that we can get kids thinking about these things, that's so valuable. Next, we'll speak with Mrs. Janine Tricario, who will give us some information about college visit opportunities at New Milford High School. She will also explain about a program called Naviance that students start using their freshman year. It's something that can help them figure out what their interests are. Mrs. Tricario will also explain the Common App, which is an online application that assists those students who are applying to colleges.
Thank you, Mrs. Veluzzi. So our students have the opportunity to take advantage of several college visits throughout their juniors and senior year. We provide information about the colleges who will be visiting New Milford High School so that they could get more information in regards to the different programs that the local colleges and universities offer. We provide information through morning announcements, the calendar outside the guidance suite, and emails to the students on a daily basis. One of the ways some of our students at New Milford High School might have the opportunity to see a college campus is through the New Milford Academies. Last year, we were able to set up two college visits, one in the fall, where we took our students to University of Connecticut, Johnson and Wales, University of Rhode Island, and Quinnipiac. And then in the winter, we went to upstate New York schools, Syracuse, Ithaca, Cornell, SUNY Binghamton, and SUNY Oswego. This was a great opportunity for our students to gain exposure to some of the state schools in New York, which also look for out-of-state students. Most students do their research through a program called Naviance. Each student at New Milford High School has an account with Naviance when they enter as freshmen. It is a comprehensive college, career, and life readiness resource that helps us as school counselors align the student strengths and interests to their post-secondary goals. One way that Naviance is able to do that is that they collaborated with a company called Road Trip Nation most recently. Road Trip Nation offers various resources that expose students to a wide array of available careers and career paths. So if a student in their 10th grade exploration would sign on to Naviance, they would do a career and interest inventory through the Road Trip Nation interface. And it basically includes educational curriculum, some online tools, some video content, and live events. And then these tools help create more of a diverse and relevant collection of resources for them. The one thing that Road Trip Nation differs from your standard interest inventory, it has a more of a multimedia approach. So I think it's a little better for students today than doing their standard Naviance interest inventory, which is a series of 180 questions, which could take up to an hour. We still like to, you know, encourage the students to do that. But if a student maybe is more of a visual learner, the Road Trip Nation provides different videos based upon like the different career paths that they have an interest in. The other thing that Naviance provides is a self-discovery with the colleges. So the students could do research based upon best fit colleges as going with their test scores, with their GPA. We use scattergrams through Naviance, so that's using data from previous student admission results. Also, more college admission stats where it's like one-stop shopping, where they could do a search for something like Rutgers or College of New Jersey and then see the admission stats that change each year, also including costs. And then that could help them identify ideal college majors for their interests based upon the results from those interest inventories that are all under their account on Naviance. The other major thing that Naviance does is it connects to Common App. The Common Application is one-stop shopping for college applications. It's one of the handful of different websites that students use to apply to college, like Parchment. So Common App, basically, the students will have to create their own account and then list all of the colleges of their choice of which they want to apply. So once they do that, they would sign a waiver And then we would connect their college list on Common App to Naviance so that at that point, when they're ready to apply, the school counselors can then submit their transcripts, their letters of recommendation, and their Common App reports to the colleges of their choice.
And is it correct that students generally write one essay that is accepted and applicable to most colleges? Or do you find that many students are having to write multiple essays?
So the Common App essay is the prompt that the senior English teachers give to the students so they can choose. So if the student is applying to all Common App schools, they would then just have that one essay. If the student is applying to other schools that do not use the Common App, then they would have to include an additional essay. Most of the time, they're tweaking it just a little bit to include the more specified questions as per that university. Obviously, like some of the Ivies have more supplemental. Rutgers does not use the Common App, so they have their own essay that they have to do. Other schools that are more local, like Montclair, the same thing, that they have to provide an additional essay. But mainly, if it's all Common App schools, then it's the one Common App essay prompt.
Okay. And again, on a personal note, you know, coincidentally, I've just gone through this process. I can say that what a different experience from when I applied to college. This Common App is really a savior. Students input all of their information once, and it takes a little bit of time. But generally speaking, the process has become much more manageable for high school seniors. If I am listening to this as a junior myself, or maybe I'm a parent right now of a student who's a junior, it's overwhelming. Can you give us somewhat of a timeline? You know, what am I doing right now? What should I be doing during this junior year? If you could generally speak to that, just to give listeners a little bit of an idea of what their next three steps might be.
Sure. Starting in February, we will meet with our junior students and their parents and guardians. At that point, we will start setting up a timeline for the post-secondary plan goals. One of those would be starting with the research, getting on Naviance, looking through the interest inventory, doing some college searches, similar to what Mrs. Bilali had said earlier, talking to your family about the location. There's a college search option in Naviance where you could put in the distance, which we provide in our junior meetings, a distance data sheet with different four-year schools, and starting with that conversation. In the spring, we do suggest that they should look into taking one of the tests that Mrs. Poor was talking about, either the SAT or ACT, giving that an opportunity to see where they fall. Also comparing their PSAT scores from 10th and 11th grade and looking for a possible college list as they're exiting junior year so that over the summer, even through spring break, possibly visiting some schools. Schools won't be in session in the summer, but at least they'll have something more concrete. I do go into the junior English classes towards the end of junior year, just discussing making sure that they have their Naviance set up, making sure that they have a resume that is complete before they enter senior year. That is a very important thing because when they start to talk to teachers about letters of recommendation, having that resume done and being able to give that to the teacher who's going to write the letter secures a spot and just kind of gives them an overall plan. And then moving towards senior year, the essay prompts do come out before we return to school in September. So having them just kind of pan out the Common App, making sure that they have those accounts ready to go.
That reminds me, you mentioned the PSAT, Mrs. Tricario. Mrs. Poor, I'll ask you about this because it relates to testing. I know that we conduct the PSAT here at New Milford High School for sophomores and juniors. Can you just speak briefly to that process and how we come to offer that to the students?
Every October, our 10th and 11th grade students are all given the opportunity to take the PSAT. Our district is committed to this process, and they do pay for each and every 10th and 11th grade student to take this important test. In 10th grade, students are taking it to become exposed to the test and to get to know the content. In 11th grade, they are preparing to take the SAT, and they are also have the opportunity to possibly qualify for a scholarship through the PSAT. This is useful information that the College Board then gives back to the student about where they are in the process, how much prep they might need to do before taking the actual SAT, and then connects them with a lot of information about free preparation that they can do for the upcoming SATs.
Thank you. I think that PSAT score is so helpful to give students an idea of where they fall. And I think it's generous and much appreciated that the New Milford School District makes it possible for all of its students to take that test. So thinking again about the junior year conferences coming up for all students in the junior class, some of those conferences, as we've talked about quite a bit already, will include plans for the college process. Other students will have questions about a non-traditional four-year college path, trade school, or career questions. Mrs. Michelle Harrell is here to share with us information that will be shared with those students.
Thank you, Mrs. Veluzzi. This is such an exciting time, and there are so many options out there. So there are additional paths outside of the four-year college experience, and we can break them down into about three categories. One category is a skilled service worker. Another category would be a skilled trade worker. And then you have military. And so I'll break those down a little bit so you understand which career path might be the one for you. So a skilled service worker might be someone in the hospitality management, an MRI technician, fashion design, sports management, a medical office assistant. Bergen Community College has great programs that offer skilled service workers certifications. And they're about a year long. They offer at least 35 programs, and they continue to grow. If you're looking at a skilled trade worker, that would be someone like an electrician, HVAC, plumbing, welding, carpentry. If this is of interest to you, Bergen Technical Adult Program offers amazing opportunity. It's about an 18-month program, and it costs about $10,000. If you're thinking of an auto mechanic, diesel mechanic, watercraft mechanic, motorcycle mechanic, Lincoln Tech is another option, or DeVry. Again, that's about an 18-month program. Students going into a skilled service or skilled trade can look to earn about $50,000 starting salary, and that continues to grow. There are more than 6 million positions available right now. There is a huge deficit in the country, across the entire country, where they need people to fill these positions. So if a four-year college is not your preference, I highly encourage students to think about skilled service or skilled trade. Another option for students is the military. And this would be for a student that has a calling. And there are many different levels of the military. For the high-achieving student, they could look into the academies. And this is more of a college experience. You would look at West Point for the Army. You would look at Annapolis for the Navy, and you would look into Colorado for the Air Force. It is very competitive. It is 100% funded by the government, so you pay nothing for college. When you come out, you will have cost the government about $250,000 for your education. There is a service requirement on top of this, and it's about 5 years where you will serve in the military as an officer. Students that go this path, some stay career military, and then leave the military on a full pension. Other students will serve their 5 years and then come back into the civilian world. They could be some other type of professional. The other way to go into the military could be enlisting right out of high school. And we have some students that do this. They choose a branch of the military and they enlist. Another option that we also encourage students to look at would be ROTC program. And that's where you would go into a college. After your college experience, you will go into the military as an officer, and you will have a mandatory 5 to 6 years of service. One thing I'd like to add about these three areas of work, they can't be outsourced. When you check into a hotel, the person checking you in, a hospitality management person, that person cannot be outsourced. So your job is guaranteed. As long as you're a committed worker, you will always be employed. Skilled trade workers, when you think of the huge project of the Tappan Zee Bridge, and you think of all the jobs there, you have a welder, you have an electrician, you have a heavy machinist, you have a crane operator. Those jobs can't be outsourced, and they're a very skilled person that needs to do those jobs.
Wow, so many options. Thank you for that specific information. I think it's thought-provoking, and will give students a lot to think about. So hopefully this episode has been helpful to those of you who are listening. We certainly hope that it has been. Thank you to all of you school counselors who have joined me today. I think it's such a great way to utilize our podcast here at New Milford High School and speak to a lot of students and their parents at one time. Juniors, if you have questions, you know by now that a lot of them will be answered at the conference that will be coming up in February. If questions arise at any point, email your school counselor, call them, set up a time to come in and talk. They're always available, and your questions can always be answered. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Nightcast. Check us out at newmilfordschools.org/New Milford High School. Look for us in your inbox from the night. Find us on the New Milford High School Facebook page or at Mr. Manupelli's Twitter, @NMHS Principal.